Well, good morning. It's so good to see each of you this morning with your Bibles ready to study. And if you'll be taking your Bible and turning to the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. Matthew chapter 11. Good to have some visiting with us. Want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. Or if you think I stated something in a way that's unbecoming of a Christian, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. We would rejoice to see you come forward and confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and upon your confession be buried with him in the grave of baptism. Amongst those visiting is my sister-in-law, Amy, and her daughter, Kate. They're pretty special people to my family, and we're so glad to see them. I've known her as long as I've known Mary, and she's had some health issues, and we ask that you continue to remember her in your prayers. They mean a lot to us, and I don't say that a lot to her because I don't want her to get a big head, but she's a very sweet girl, and we ask that you remember her in our prayers. In Matthew chapter 11, if you will, begin looking with me at verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's no doubt these words have been used many times for the foundation of a sermon. And at some time in the lives of most of us, we belong in that crowd that says that we are laboring and heavy laden. And yet at the same time, I think about the appeal that Jesus makes in his invitation. And this may well be the most appealing invitation Jesus ever gave. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And I think about the compassion of such an appeal that Jesus gives. But then there's another thing to note when you read your Bible in the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter, and that is the fact that the yoke of Christ is so easy. And that is in comparison to the yoke that sin lays upon the heart of man. You remember in Genesis chapter 4, after Cain had slain his brother, that he had talked to God and he said, "My burden is heavier than I can bear." However, at this time, what I'd like to do is direct your attention to a part that maybe we overlook in these words. If you have your Bible, back in the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter, in verse 28 and 29, notice that Jesus says, "Come learn of me." I want you to think about those words, "learn of me." Because there are only some things that we can learn from Jesus through his words. There are some things that we can only learn from Jesus as no other. And what I want us to think about is when we sit at the feet of Jesus is there are some things that are required learning and some things that are elective. I recognize we've got some who are about to go off to college. And I remember when I went to college, there were some courses that they said are required. You have to take them. And there were some courses that were identified as electives. They were those courses you wanted to take, perhaps because that's what you majored in. So for just a few moments, I want us to think about there are some things about Jesus that we learn that are required, and there are some things he's left up to us. The first thing I want to bring to your mind is life itself is required to learn. I want us to recognize we did not choose to be born. We did not choose to come into existence. We weren't consulted about living at all. None of us were consulted before we came into this earth, and there isn't anything we can do to stop living and be pleasing to God. Someone can go out and take their life or destroy their body, and they've done wrong to that which God said should be used as the temple of the Holy One. If you take your Bible, look if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look if you will, at verse 19. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, the writer of God said, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So it's true that one can wreck their life. It's true one could take their life. It's true one can destroy their body. But one must recognize that after the flesh is gone, life goes on beyond the grave. And we learn this from the teaching of our Lord. If you have your Bible in the book of Luke in the 12th chapter, you remember that there was a man identified as a rich man. And you remember that man lived and he lived sumptuously. You remember that he had built barns and he tore down those barns and built bigger barns. And that man was considering what he was going to do. He said, I will sit back and be at ease. But in your Bible, in the book of Luke, in the 12th chapter, you remember that the Lord came and said, this night your soul will be required of thee. And though he died, he continued to live. The physical part died, but the soul of man does not die. The soul of man goes on. In Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, we talked about in our Ecclesiastes class, that the body will return to dust, but the Spirit will go back to God, who gave the Spirit. So I want us to understand that it is required that we learn that we must live. We learn this from the teaching of God, that there is life beyond the grave, that once you die physically, you will still live continuously. And that is required of every individual. I know there are some people who wish they could put an end to their existence, but I want you to understand that that is not possible. That even if you take your life, you hurt your body, you somehow try to end your life here, life goes on. And Jesus said that is a required learning. But the second thing that we need to require to learn is that there is death. You know, my friend, there's a lot of things you can choose in life, but one thing you can't choose is not to die. There will come a day that physically we will die. There will come a time when each of us will walk down the valley of the shadow of death, and this is something we cannot change. This is beyond our power. Now, it's true we can prolong life, and we should hope to do so. However, in the Hebrew letter, in the 9th chapter, in about verse 27, you remember the writer of God said, it is appointed for man to die, and then the judgment. And so the great men of God who were guided by the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent in the Father's name, talked about and wrote about the fact that death is certain. Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And when you come to 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice, if you will, when Paul is writing. Paul recognized that though he was a saint of God and an apostle, that death would be required of him. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at about verse 6, notice he said, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Paul recognized that death was required. Paul recognized there would come a time he would die. And I want you to recognize that is a required learning in the school of Jesus. Some people act like they're never going to face death. They act like they're going to live on this earth. And I want you to recognize, my friend, I don't care if you're 18 without a gray hair on your head and without a concern in your life, or if you're 88, one day we will face death. Open your Bible, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, notice what Peter said. Peter lets us understand something in verse 14. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 14, he said, knowing that shortly I must, underscore a word, must. Now, I recognize that's been supplied by the translators, but that's implied with what he is saying. I must put off my tent just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. What's he talking about? Peter is recognizing that he is going to die. And notice how he described the body. The same way Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians 5, as a tent. Now, I don't know about you, but I know this much. Tents are not for permanent living. When Jackson was in Boy Scouts, we all went out one night and went camping as a part of it. And there was Mary, and there was I, and there was Sam, and there was Jackson in this tent. And there we were, and I laid in there all night, and I know we found the place that had every rock in that yard, because I laid on every one of them. And I thought to myself, now I'm just not cut out for tent. I'm not cut out for camp. If I'm going somewhere, Brother Richardson would rather stay in a hotel than on a bunch of rocks. That's just me. But now some people enjoy that. But I know one thing about a tent. I know tents aren't for permanent dwelling. And that's how the body is described, as a tent. That we aren't going to be here for long. And that is required learning that the body will decay. And we must recognize death will come. Now, I realize that's not popular to preach. I realize people don't want to think about physical death. But I want us to realize that is something Jesus said and Jesus knows. But then there's a third required course. And that is that we will all stand before the judgment bar of Christ. Go back to the Hebrew letter in the 9th chapter and notice again. Not only did he say, is it appointed for man to die, but notice the second part of that. He says in verse 27, that is also the judgment. Have you ever thought that's an appointment you're going to keep? Not only are you going to keep the appointment of death, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Death, then the judgment day. And Jesus made this plain in his teaching in Matthew 25. When he said that all nations would be gathered together before him in that great day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 it said, for all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now that is something that's required. You can't elect out of it. All those things I've mentioned so far are required. You must live, you were born, you were brought into this world, and you have a continual existence. Whether you take the physical body or not, you have a continual existence. Secondly, there's physical death. That's required of all of us. The only two that ever escaped that were Enoch and Elijah. And I'll tell you, not anyone since. And I'll tell you what, my friend, the third thing we must understand is that we will stand before the judgment bar of God. And He knows all things. In Hebrews 4:13, it said, all things are naked before the eyes of God. There will be no hiding of our sins as we stand in the presence of God. And this is a required course in the school of learning from Jesus. If I could get people to see those three things, the lesson, we could just stop right now and our time would not be in vain. If I could get people to see that they must live their life in harmony with God's will, and if I could get people to see the fact that one day they will die, and one day they will be judged, and that they have no say in that matter, that would really get people to open their eyes to the book of God. But I want you to think about the electives of life. I turn from the required things that I learned from Jesus to the things that are elective in our lives. There are many things that are left to a man to elect as to what to do in this life. But at this time, I want to bring to your mind three great electives in life. The first one I want to bring to your mind is you can choose your way of life. Now, you can't choose whether you come into life. That's a requirement. You've already here. But now, my friend, you can choose the way you're going to live. Jesus taught us in simple words that man can elect his own way of life. God does not force him to do things, but he leaves it up to man to decide. Do you recognize this morning you have choice on how you live? You choose how you're going to live. Now, there's going to be consequences to the choices you make. But it is left up entirely to you how you're going to live your life. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. In the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter, notice, if you will, what Jesus said in verse 13 and 14. In Matthew 7:13 and 14, he makes it very plain in these passages. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now notice, we have to decide whether we're going to travel the broad road or if we're going to travel the narrow road. And you know what, my beloved friend? Some look at this life and they're ignorant of the end of that road. They don't consider the end of the road. There are people even sitting in this audience who are living their life and walking the broad way. They're going contrary to God's will. They're going contrary to God's teaching, but they don't consider the end of the road. When you walk the broad way, he said it leads to destruction. That's talking about once death comes and judgment comes, eternal separation from God. Now, it's up to you how you live, but I want you to understand there are consequences. Whatever the reason might be that you've decided to live, it's your decision and you're alone. There's some people that I fear that they live their life and what they do is they do not consider the fact that there's going to come a judgment day. And what they do is they live their life not considering the end of a matter. They only want to live for the moment. They don't consider the fact that there is a requirement that you will stand before the judgment seat of God. Now, you may not like to hear that. You may roll your eyes at that. You may look away at that. But I want you to understand, my friend, that is up to you how you live. But I want us to understand God is the judge and you're going to be required to stand before Him. But the second thing I want to bring to your mind is what to do with Jesus. That's an elective. That's something you choose. From the life of Christ, we learn this from Pilate in Matthew 26 when he asked the question, what shall I do with Jesus? There's no earthly power that can make us accept Jesus. There is no one that can make us accept His way. You know what is? That's a decision for each one. And that's a personal question. What will you do with Jesus? What are you going to do? That is your great elective in life. Are you going to follow His will? Are you going to take the pattern? Are you going to examine His Word and say, I believe He is the Son of God? Or are you going to ignore His will and do your own thing? Now, God gives us free will and God allows us to choose how we live. But that's a great question. What will I do with Jesus? He has done everything He can to get us to love Him. He's shown us His love. He's given us hope of salvation. He's given us where we can be with Him for eternity. And now the question is, what are you going to do about it? And that brings up the third thing. The third elective is we choose our destination. There are two places for man to spend eternity, hell or heaven. And God has provided all the plan and grace for one to go to heaven. But my friend, in the final analysis, you choose which way you're going to go. If you go the broad way and follow the crowd and walk the way of the world, you'll end up in destruction. And you can't blame God because at the judgment day, that's the choice you've made. You can't blame the preacher. You can't blame the church. You can't blame your parents. In the judgment day, if you've walked contrary to God's will and you end up in hell, that was your choice. You must elect what destination you prefer. And what a contrast between the two. If you ever looked in Luke 16? In Luke 16, you hear the cry of the one man who's in hell and in torments. And he's begging just for a drop of water. He's begging that his brothers could hear the truth. And just a few moments in torments, that man wished he'd have lived a different way of life. But notice Lazarus, he now has comfort. He is with God for all eternity. However, God leaves it up to you to decide what your destination will be. Now you're going to stand before Him in judgment. And He's the judge.
But has He not given us everything we need to know how we can live for Him so we can live with Him? That is a great elective in life. Have you ever thought that God did not force you to love Him? Because love's not forced. Love's a choice. See, we want people to love us sometimes, and we want people to force them to love us. You can't. Love's a choice. And God has chosen to love man. The question is, what will you do with Jesus? And will you love Him in return? I tell you what. I'd hate to think that after all God has done to demonstrate His love for me, that I would elect to turn my back on Him and choose to spend eternity separated from Him, even knowing that that place separated from Him is a place of torments. And yet people make that choice all the time. I heard about a man one time when they asked him about judgment. He made a statement. He said, "Will I have to answer for the things I've done?" He said, "Maybe." He said, "But this time is mine. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And I don't answer to anyone." He's wrong about that. He will answer to God. But he was right. The time God's given him is His. In one sense. What he elects to do with it, though, will determine where he will be in eternity. And the same is true of you. If you're here this morning, you need to obey the gospel of Christ. It's required you be baptized to have your sins blotted out. We pray you come as together we stand and sing.